I'm going to start off tonight by asking you a simple question. What if you could read minds? What if somebody could read your mind? That would be interesting, wouldn't it? You know, a new study published, this is in the Journal of Molecular Psychiatry, says that women are more likely to have a mind-reading gene mutation that gives them ability to read a person's thoughts and emotions by looking at their eyes. This has just been published. The scientists found the genetic variants of chromosome 3, I know you are very interested about this, in women, are associated with the ability to read the mind in the eyes. It's known as cognitive empathy. So this new study says that this empathy is partly genetic, but sometimes it can also be by what, you know, how you're brought up, how you, that area like that. So what it basically says is this, that women have a chromosome that they can read minds. They can see what you're thinking. They know what's inside of you by looking at your eyes. So I read that article and went out and bought me a pair of sunglasses. Because there's no way that I'm going to let that happen to me. But listen. It's just interesting to think, if people really knew what was in my mind, if people knew really what was in your mind, I want you to, you know, the secrets, the things that happen, fears, the worries that are going through our minds every day, you know, I want to tell you a story about a man. His name is Donnie Dunnigan. I have a picture of him and his wife. That's Donnie Dunnigan right there. He is a tough-nosed, highly decorated career Marine. He was in the Marines in such a way that he got more promotions than everybody else. At one time in the Marines, he was decorated within the years that he was in more than any other Marine at that time. But he had a secret. He had a secret inside of him. Let's see a picture of him when he was in the Marines. That's what he looked like. So he, as he went through the Marines, he kept a secret. Now, he even got out of the Marines and kept this secret for the longest time because he really didn't want anybody to know this. And so for all his years, he kept this secret. One person in the Marines found out his secret. He went into his commanding officer's office one day. And the commanding officer said, Donnie, or Major, basically what he was, he says, I want you to do this and this and this. And he said to his commanding officer, well, I really feel like with me being a major, I don't really need to do that. And his commanding officer, which Donnie didn't know, his commanding officer knew his secret, said, you will be doing this, Major. Let's see the next picture. Major Bambi. He was the voice of Bambi back in 1942. He was a child actor. And he wanted to keep this secret for so long, he didn't want anybody, he didn't even let his wife know. Let's see the next picture. It shows what he looked like back there in 1942. But he was Bambi. And yet, if he would have known, letting that secret out, he's admired by hundreds and thousands and millions of people because who doesn't love Bambi? And yet he wanted to keep that secret because in some way in his mind, he felt like, well, I don't want people to know that I was Bambi. You know, what's my point with all this? You know, well, one of the points is this. You can hide secrets in your heart and in your mind. None of us really have the ability to read somebody else's mind. But in Hebrews 4:13, it says, nothing in all of creation is hidden from God's sight. Everything is uncovered and laid bare before His eyes of Him to whom we must give an account. So basically, what my point, getting to where I am today, is this. I just want to start off by saying to you that God wants something special for your life. God wants to take you. When you get saved, and even before you're saved. God has something special and has a great purpose for your life. He has a plan for your life. But none of us really know what is going on inside a person's head or how they feel. And so what happens is this. Many times when we are going through life, God has a purpose for your life, but Satan, what he wants to do is he wants to get inside of your mind and he wants to make you worry and he wants to make you fear. He wants to make you look at the sins. He wants to make you just be jumbled up in your mind so you cannot be used the way that God really wants to use you. And so what happens is people walk around this world today and they have these secret thoughts. They have hidden sins. They have their insecurities, which everyone has. They have fears. They have worries. And they fall under this trap of Satan, whereas where God wants to use in a mighty way, we just let this stuff fester in our mind and we don't tell anybody because we do not want to dare tell anybody about our insecurities. We surely do not want to tell anybody about our hidden sins. We don't want to tell anybody about what we're thinking. That's why it's really glad we're glad nobody can read our mind here on earth. And so what happens is, if we're not careful, that stuff just stays in our mind, and it really, as we're seeking to go through life and seeking to do what God wants us to do, that stuff's up here in our mind, and it really kind of takes us off the path of what God wants us to do. And I think everybody in this room, that you are going through life and you are going through, you wake up in the morning and you start going through the day, but then these insecurities and these sins in your mind or these thoughts that you have or these fears or the bitterness that you have, something is in your mind. They just kind of start coming in your mind and you start thinking about that. And before you know it, you've gone through the whole day and you've dwelt on something and except for the Almighty God. Am I the only one like that? Yes or no? I don't think so. I hope I'm not. But see, that's what happened. Or something happens that day and you start to dwell on it. See, this is what Satan does. Satan takes us and Satan tries to make our mind go to places that it shouldn't go. See, God has something very, very special for you. And the only way we're going to achieve that, what God has for us to do, is to have our mind focused on God. And so Satan comes in and puts these things in your mind. And because we have these things in our mind, maybe these insecurities, maybe these fears, maybe these worries, maybe these hidden sins, maybe these things that nobody else knows. And I know I'm getting to an area that's, you know, secret, but the thoughts that you have that nobody else knows, maybe how you look or this relationship you have or you're insecure about this or you're like this. And many people in this world today, because there's a lot of fears today. Can I have an amen on that? And what happens is a lot of these people will go through life and they'll try to find something to just kind of calm these thoughts that they're having. And what they do is they try to find it in everything but God. They try to find it in people. They try to find it in places. They try to find it in things that they have. You know, 1 John 2:16 and 17 says this, "For everything in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life come not from the Father, but from the world. The world and its desires pass away, but whoever does the will of God lives forever." So what God wants, the solution to this, is that God wants us not to talk to each other, but to be transparent with Him about what's going on in our minds. When was the last time that you and God had a talk about your insecurities? When was the last time that you and God had a talk about your fear? When was the last time that you and God had a talk about your worry? See, what God's wanting from us is this. God's wanting transparency from our hearts. God's wanting us not to be walking around in secret, but God's wanting us to be transparent with Him. I really believe that God cares more about you being transparent with Him than us telling our problems and our insecurities and all that to everybody else. God wants us to be transparent with Him. You're saying, well, here, God knows anyway. Well, the answer is yes, God does know anyway. But many times what happens is we don't even express our fears, our worries, our hidden sins, those things to God. And God's up there in heaven saying to you all, I just want you to talk to me. Because I'm the only one that can really help you with what's going on in your mind. First of all, God's the only one that knows what's really going on in your mind. And so one of the things that we have to understand is this. As we are seeking whatever it is to work through these things that are in our mind, sins, fear, worry, insecurity, these things in our mind, as we're seeking to get rid of those, the only way we're going to be able to deal with those is to be transparent with God. To tell God what's going on in our lives. You know, let's talk about this for a minute. I'll give you just an example from the Bible. And if you get in the Bible and you'll turn, if you, you know, as you read, you can go to it tonight and read it, but you start in 2 Samuel 11, we have the story of David and Bathsheba. Now, this is a story that's very familiar to many of us. And this is a story about someone who had a secret sin, who had a hidden sin in his life. Now, I'm not necessarily just talking about sin tonight, but this is just an example that I have, because David spent a lot of years suffering because he had hid this sin in his heart. Now, the whole time that David was suffering, do you think that God didn't know that that sin was there? No, God knew it was there. But yet David, what happened was, is that in 2 Samuel, when you're talking about the story of David and Bathsheba, David sleeps with Bathsheba. He commits adultery with Bathsheba. And then what happens is this. It's basically the sin. He sees Bathsheba. He sleeps with her. But then what he does is he kind of does a cover-up. What it is he realized and he knows what's going on, so he knew that he slept with Bathsheba, and Bathsheba was married, so he calls wants the husband to sleep with Bathsheba because Bathsheba's pregnant. And of course, the husband's not going to do it because the husband says, I'm in war, so I'm not going to do this. So what David does is sends Uriah to the front lines and he gets killed. So it's a cover-up. It's a cover-up of what's going on. So you can imagine now, for a year and a half, this goes on now after this. David's got this sin in his mind, and even in the psalm, you're reading about what it does to him. It basically almost destroys him. It dries up his bones. He's suffering from inside. He's covered it up. Now, God knew it the whole time, but he's covered it up. And so he's just wasting away from the inside. Because that's what Satan's going to do. He's going to say to you, whether it's a sin or whether it's a fear or a worry or an insecurity, what Satan's going to do is, I'm just cover it up. You know, I'll put something in your life to make you feel like it's not as bad anymore. It's not as bad anymore. But here's the problem. You can have as many people in your life. You can go as many places as you want in your life. And you can have as many things as you want in life. But eventually what's going to happen in your life is you're going to be alone. And what's going to happen when you're alone is you're going to start thinking about the things that are going through your mind. So David, after this cover-up, you know, he had this cover-up. After a year and a half, the prophet Nathan comes on the scene. And what happens is he finally realizes the point that I'm trying to get to tonight. And that is this. That the only way that you're going to be healed from your thoughts and the things, the secret things that are going on in your mind, your insecurities, your fears, forgiveness of sins. The only way you're going to be able to deal with that is there needs to be a repentance, and there needs to be a talking to God. See, God's up there with his arms open wide for all of us. And in Psalms 51, David says this, "Be gracious to me, O God, according to your loving kindness, according to the greatness of your compassion, blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from my iniquity. Cleanse me from my sin, for I know my transgressions, and my sin is ever before me." And so it was that time when David, in Psalm 51, became transparent to God about what's going on in his life, that healing and restoration started coming to David's life. Now, that doesn't mean in this case, and of course, I'm not talking just about sin. I'm just talking about what you think and the things that you think and your insecurities and different areas like this. But in this case, it was a sin. And what happened after David was transparent with God about his sin is God started to heal him and God started to restore him. And what you see later on is David, again, serves God in the way that God intended David to serve him. Now, there were some consequences to his sin. And, you know, many times when we're having thoughts in our minds and we don't do things for God because of insecurities that we have in our mind or thoughts that we have in our mind, or I cannot do this or I cannot do this, you know, there's consequences sometimes to that because God wants you and has a plan for your life. It's kind of like what I've always talked about. God has a plan for my life, Tom Gamble. And if my plan is to walk right there to that microphone, not a very good plan, but, you know, who am I to question God? So I'm going to walk to that microphone. And this is how God planned it. God planned for me to go from here to this microphone. I know I've shared this sometime before. That was God's plan for my life. And God wanted me to do that. But if I get over here and I start going to that microphone, and then either sin comes into my mind, or my mind starts to worry about what people are going to think, or my mind starts to be insecure, like, oh God, I may fall over that microphone right there. What's happening is, instead of stopping and thinking and talking to God about it and saying, God, I want to be transparent with you right now. God, I'm really scared I'm going to fall over that microphone right there. What we do is we try to go a different path our own way. We try to do something our own way to try to fix this thing that we're thinking. When really what God wants us to do is maybe stop for a minute, talk to Him, be transparent and say, God, I'm a little scared right now. Now, did God already know I was scared? Yes or no? Yes. But yet God wants us sometimes to go ahead and say to Him, or all the time, wants us to say to Him, because He's a big God, He can handle it, God, I'm really scared right now. And God, I need some guidance. I need some guidance how I'm going to go over this path without tripping over this microphone. Look, this thing could hurt right there, God. And yet what many of us do is this. Well, I'll tell you what, I'm going to do this. So here's my friends over here, or here's this over here. I'll tell you what, I'll just buy me all this stuff, and I can go this way, or I'm going to do this. I'm going to go this way because this way is a lot easier. That way I don't have to deal with my fear because I just cover it up with all this stuff. And so what I do is I go ahead and go this way, and then what happens is I'm out of God's will right now. I'm out of God's plan. Now, God's plan is still for me to get to that microphone, right? But it's taking me a lot longer to get that microphone. And let's say right here, I'm right here, and I realize, oh, you know what? I should have stopped right back there, and I should have just been transparent with God, and I should have just asked God what I need to do about that microphone. And then I finally talk to God, and I say, God, you know, I'm sorry, you know, show me what to do now. And God, forgive me for that because I've stepped off your path. Now, does God forgive us? Yes or no? Yes, but here's what happens. Look, I'm still off the path. So God puts me back on the path, but it's taken me longer to get to that place than God ever intended for me to go. Now, did God take care of me that whole time? Yes. And so look at this. See, I was starting here, and I veered off here, and now I'm back on the path after repenting right here. Well, here's what I'm saying. From here to where I'm getting back on the path, to right here where I started the path, God had great plans for me. God had great people for me to meet. God had people for me to witness to. God had something for me to happen right here and right here and right here. So forever in my life, even though God's forgiven me because of my fears and my insecurities and the things that happen in my life, I'm going to have to live with the consequences. Now, God forgives me and I'm free and I'm under grace, but I'm still going to live with the consequences of what happened when I missed this path of God. Does that make sense to you? And that's what happens to us, church, when we have the fears and insecurities and hidden sins in our mind that nobody knows. And so we start to act a way that God never intended us to act. When God the whole time wanted me just to stop and say, God, I'm scared. Or God, I've sinned. See, if David, when he would have sinned with Bathsheba, would have just stopped right there and said, God, I've sinned. Please forgive me. Now, he still would have had to live with the consequences. But don't you think his life, a year and a half of David's life, can you imagine what God could have done with David in a year and a half? Now, God still did great things. And no matter what happens with us, God can still do great things with us. But I'm just saying to you, God has a great plan for your life from the beginning to the end. Why do we waste this time with our fears and insecurities and things in our mind that make us seek after other things that are not of God? When all we can do and what we can do is just be transparent before God and say, God, I'm scared, or God, I'm worried, or God, I really have this insecurity that this person's not going to think this, or God, I'm really going to have this. I have this insecurity that this person's going to act this way. Or God, I have an insecurity of this, and I worry about this. God, I worry about bombs going off in America. God, I'm worrying about walking out now and somebody shooting me. God, I'm worrying about all this. And I'm just telling that to God, and God says, I'm going to take care of you. And in a minute, I'm going to tell you why God is better than that than anybody else. I mean, my wife can tell me all day long, but I'm still going to fear because God is the one that's in control of this whole mess. Make sense? And so what it is this. God is the one that I have to go to. And once you go to God like that, what happens is he starts to heal you and he starts to restore you. So tonight, no matter what it is in your life that you're thinking about yourself, no matter how bad you have sinned, no matter what circumstance that you are in that seems to be out of control, no matter what it is your thoughts are when you're walking around this world that we walk in, that sometimes make you just really do silly things, no matter what that is, I want to tell you that first of all, there's a God, and there's a God that loves you, there's a God that wants to hear from you. So I'm asking you tonight to pour out your thoughts to God and your feelings before God, and he will begin to heal and restore you. He is the wonderful and he is the best counselor. Now, I counsel here at the church, but nobody is as good as God. Because the Bible even says that Jesus is a wonderful counselor. And I'm going to tell you why. And once you hear why he is a wonderful counselor, I pray that what will happen is this, that all that stuff that's in your mind, either your health and you're worried about this or worried about this, or you have a fear or you have a hidden sin or you have this thought or this thought, whatever it is, I hope that after you hear why God is a wonderful counselor, You'll go to God tonight and be transparent with God and just lay it all on the table and say, God, this is how I'm feeling. God, take care of me. And once you do that, what's going to happen to you is you're going to start feeling a healing and a restoring of your life, and your mind's going to become clear. And you're going to have a joy that maybe you've lost because of things that are jumbled up in our mind every day. The first is this. Jesus was once where you were. He understands. You go, what do you mean? Well, according to the scripture, it says in Hebrews 4:15, for we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but one who is every respect has been tempted as we are, yet without sin. So Jesus is able to understand when you go to him and say, Jesus, this is what's going on in my life. He is able to understand. The only thing that Jesus didn't do that we do is Jesus didn't sin. But Jesus was tempted in every way to sin. But Jesus had such a relationship with the Father that he didn't sin. And that's where Jesus wants us to get. He wants us to be transparent. And so when you go to God and you say, God, I'm feeling this way, or I'm feeling this way, or God, I'm feeling this way, and Jesus, I'm feeling this way, God's not up there going, oh, why are you doing that again? That's what we think sometimes, but no, because he's gone through everything we've gone through. You think Jesus dealt with loneliness? Yeah. You think Jesus had some fear or almost some fear? Yeah. Think Jesus had situations where he had to worry? You know he did. You think Satan tempted Jesus? We already know Satan tempted Jesus. And yet he had everything that we did. So when you go to Jesus and you say, okay, this is my problem, this is what's going on in my mind, it's just kind of rumbled up right now as I'm trying to get this on this path, I'm trying to get on this right path, God, Jesus understands, and he sympathizes with you. He just doesn't go, oh, great, there it is, that's not important. Jesus says, I'm there for you. I'm right there for you. It also says in the Bible that he grew up before him like a root out of a dry ground. He had no beauty or majesty to attract us to him, nothing in his appearance that we should desire him. He was despised and rejected by mankind, a man of suffering and familiar with pain, like one from whom people hid their face. He was despised, which we held him in low esteem. Jesus has been at the top, and Jesus has been at the bottom. He understands what you're going through. And so when you get to the place where you have a time to reflect with God, I'm just asking you this. You be transparent with God, maybe for the first time in your life. Just tell him everything going on in your mind. And what he's going to do is he's going to sympathize with you because he understands it. That's the first thing that we understand. The second thing is this. Jesus is a great listener. Probably because he doesn't have a TV. But he's a great listener. We can trust that he listens to our problems, and we can trust that he guides us in the right direction. How do I know that? Because the Word of God says, in all your ways submit to him, and he will make your paths straight. In all your ways submit to him. God, I'm struggling. God, I want to do your path. I'm afraid of that microphone right there. But God, I'm going to submit to you. God, I just want you to know that I'm scared. He's going to say, keep walking. Keep walking, Tom. Keep walking. There's that microphone. I'm right there with you. I'm right there. You know, don't look at that microphone. Okay, well, I want to look at the microphone, God. No, don't look at the microphone. God, I got to stop again. I want to look at this microphone behind me. It's scaring me, God. He's saying, you're spending a little bit too much time on that microphone, Tom. But I'm scared of that microphone. Trust me. Look at me. Look at me. Look at me. Tell me what you're feeling. Okay, God, I'm still scared of that microphone. It's awfully big. He's saying, I'm going to direct your path. Trust me to direct your path. God has a path for you, and he's going to direct your path. Don't let Satan come in and take you off the path. Philippians says this, be anxious. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, in prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God. God, you said to just tell you about everything. God, I'm scared of this microphone. I'm trying not to be anxious, but my mind's going 100 miles. I mean, this microphone. Make your request to me. God, I thank you for this microphone. God, I thank you that you're right with me in the midst of this microphone that I'm going to trip over. No, don't say you're going to trip over it because I'm leading you. God, I'm thankful for this microphone. Keep walking, Tom. Keep walking the path that I have for you. Do not be anxious. I am there with you. He's listening to me. God's listening to me. But for somebody to listen to you, you've got to talk to him. You've got to talk to him. James 1:5 says this, if any of you lack wisdom, you should ask God, who gives generously to all without fault, and it will be given to you. So you ask God, you're being transparent with God. God, I'm scared of this microphone. I'm scared of this microphone, God. I'm asking you for wisdom. What do I do about this microphone? Of course, God's telling me it's a microphone, Tom. Walk past the microphone. But I'm still asking for wisdom because I don't know what to do because I'm scared of the microphone. Now, I know we're laughing about a microphone, but we're all scared of something. Either how people think about us, how we look, the sin that we don't want anybody to find out about. We're all scared of something. And that's never going to go away from our minds until we're transparent with God and ask for wisdom how to deal with that. That's why we go to God. Because he's a great listener. And then Jesus is the comforter. You know what that word comfort represents? Of course, when we're a Christian, we all have the Holy Spirit to comfort us. And so he's inside of us, and he's our comforter all the time. Y'all know that, right? It's like being cold and having a comforter right there beside you, and you never pick it up. I'm freezing. Put the comforter on. Oh, I have a comforter? Yes, you have a comforter. It's the Holy Spirit. You know what the idea of comforter is? This is what the idea is. It's like the comforter on you when you're freezing and you go, ah. That's what the comforter does. That's what Jesus does. It's Jesus when you're transparent with him and you go before him and you look at him and you say, God, I'm scared, or God, I'm feeling this, or God, forgive me for this. And you're walking down this path of life and you're saying it to God, God, I've got to stop for a minute. And God, just help me. I'm throwing all this out to you, God. Just take it all. He says, I've got you. And then you hear this. That's called faith. And I'm calling on the church tonight and the people of the church tonight to have faith in God. That you can go before God with everything that you have on your mind. You can't read my mind. I can't read your mind. But I guarantee you, we've got stuff on our mind. I'm just saying this. You could put it on Facebook and feel okay, Instagram it, or tweet it. You can write it in a letter or even tell your spouse and feel a little better, or just tell some friends you have around. You can go to a counselor, or you could take some pills. You can do all the stuff you want to do that the world says to do. But none of that's going to work until you're transparent with God and say, God, this is really what's going on in my mind. God, take it away. God, put me back on the path that you've meant for me to be on. And God, because of my fears, or God, because of my worries, or God, because of my hidden sins, or God, because my insecurities, or God, because of a person, or God, because of this, I've gotten off the path. God, get me back on the path. I want to do what you've planned for me to do. Isn't that great to know that we have a God that lets us do that? And then what he'll do with you is he'll start to restore and heal those things that Satan has taken away from you because he's put these things in your mind, making you think these things. God's got a plan for your life. Be transparent with God, and your life will be back on the right path. Let's bow our heads. You know, tonight when you're there praying, I just basically, it's this message of you just being transparent with God. So tonight during the invitation, it's going to be a time of just you to say to God, God, we got to have a talk tonight. Many of you, you can't deal with that tonight in the time that you might need to have or we have in the invitation, but you can pray where you are and say, God, we just need to start talking about this. God, I want to be transparent with you. But there may be some people here tonight that when I'm preaching tonight, God just kind of tugged at your heart and just said, you know, the transparency I need to have with God is that I don't know him. I don't know 100% that I'm saved. I don't know if I'm even been saved the first time. I just need to get that right. I need to tell God tonight, God, I need you to forgive my sins and come to my heart. If you're here tonight and that's you, I just ask that you repeat this prayer in your heart with me. Say, Dear Jesus, come into my heart, forgive my sins, and make me a Christian. Thank you for saving me, Jesus. Thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.